Hello and welcome to Ox Talk on Tuesday, the 23rd of September 2025. My name is Jake and I'll be compiling this week's edition, in which you'll hear a selection of news items from the local Oxford papers, chosen and read by Judith Pickett and Elizabeth Dale. Copying and distribution of the USBs is by Michelle Lawful. Sunrise today is at 6:48 and sunset is at 18:56. Before we start, here is some information on how to listen to Ox Talk on your Alexa device. At the end of the news, you can hear information on how to access Ox Talk online.
Notice to listeners of Ox Talk who use a smart speaker to access our service. There are new instructions for anyone who listens to Ox Talk using Alexa. To listen to Ox Talk in this way, you now have to use the Talking Newspaper skill. First, you need to enable it. Simply say, Alexa, enable talking newspaper. Then, to listen to Ox Talk, please follow this procedure. Alexa, open talking newspaper.
Welcome to your talking newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have problems listening to Ox Talk in this way, it could be due to the way that your Alexa device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set up your device in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact Ox Talk and we will try to help.
Before we hear the news items, here are Jenny's selected poems for September.
Hello everyone. Autumn is approaching, and I thought it would be appropriate to read you a couple of poems, both entitled September. The first one is written by an American poet who was born in Massachusetts in 1830. She published 5 collections of poetry during her life. And this poem entitled September was written in 1886. The golden rod is yellow, the corn is turning brown, the trees in apple orchards with fruit are bending down. The gentian's bluest fringes are curling in the sun. In dusty pods, the milkweed its hidden silk has spun. The sedges flaunt their harvest in every meadow nook, and asters by the brookside make asters in the brook. From dewy lanes at morning, the grapes' sweet odours rise. At noon, the roads all flutter with yellow butterflies. By all these lovely tokens, September days are here, with summer's best of weather and autumn's best of cheer. But none of all this beauty, which floods the earth and air, is unto me the secret which makes September fair. 'Tis a thing which I remember, to name it thrills me yet. One day of one September I never can forget. Now, I'd like to read you a poem which was written by another American poet, John Updike. In 1965, he wrote a child's calendar, which included poems for each month of the year. And here is his one for September. The breezes taste of apple peel. The air is full of smells to feel. Ripe fruit, old footballs, burning brush, new books, erasers, and blackboard chalk and such. The bee, his hive well honeyed, hums, and mother cuts chrysanthemums. Like plates washed clean with suds, the days are polished with a morning glaze.
A Kidlington primary school has been rated outstanding in all key areas by Ofsted. St Thomas More School received the highest possible grade for its quality of education, the behaviour and attitudes of its pupils, their personal development, its leadership and management, and its early years provision, following an inspection on the 15th and 16th of July. Head teacher Julianne Exley said, "This recognition reflects the heart and soul of our school community. We're proud to be a place where children thrive, belong, and believe in themselves." The report praised the school's ambitious curriculum, teaching, and inclusive ethos. Ofsted described pupils as proud, mature, and respectful, noting they actively contribute to school life through mentoring and fundraising. Classrooms were described as calm, focused, and buzzing with ideas, with reading central to the school's approach.
Thames Water has apologised as an Oxfordshire town was flooded and lost access to tap water for the second time in a week. There was chaos in Banbury on the morning of Thursday, September the 18th, after flooding and widespread tap water outages. This occurred after a water main burst on the junction of West Bar Street and Beer Garden. At least one school, Frank Wise on Hornbeam Close, closed due to the lack of water, with Queensway School on Brantwood Rise reportedly opening later in the morning. One of the car parks at Banbury and Bicester College on Broughton Road was reportedly flooded, although the school remained open. The company has apologised for the inconvenience, as it confirmed it had brought the leak from the damaged pipe under control. A Thames Water spokesperson said, "We're sorry to customers in Banbury who've been affected by a burst water main on West Bar Street early on Thursday. Our teams attended swiftly and were able to shut off the burst main, meaning customers should now be seeing water supplies return as pressure builds. We're working to complete the repair and do so safely, and a road closure will be in place." This emergency road closure, approved by the County Council, was scheduled to be in place until Friday, September the 26th, although the extent of the damage is not yet known. "The leak from the damaged pipe," said the UK's largest water company, "has now been brought under control, and our specialist repair team is digging down to assess the damage and decide the best way to carry out repairs. Repairs may take longer than usual because of nearby electricity cables and gas mains in close proximity." Although Thames Water has called this an isolated incident, this is not the first time in recent weeks Banbury has experienced flooding and tap water outages. Last week, there was also flooding in the town after a burst water pipe caused Blessed George Napier School in Addison Road to close. This was in Banbury Town Centre on Wednesday, September the 10th. Hardwick Primary School also closed due to water issues, as did Hanwell Fields Community School, and the Three Pigeons pub was flooded inside. At the time, Thames Water said it had rerouted water through other parts of the network to restore supply. Once on site, they will dig down to the damaged section and assess the best way to complete the repair safely, the company explained.
A teacher from Oxfordshire will no longer face prosecutions for allegations that he spied for China. Christopher Berry, 33, of Witney, was charged with the offence of spying under the Official Secrets Act. Christopher Cash, 30, from Whitechapel, East London, was also charged with Mr. Berry for the same offence. It was alleged that between 28th of December 2021 and 3rd of February 2023, they, for a purpose prejudicial to the safety or interests of the state, obtained, collected, recorded, published, or communicated to any other person articles, notes, documents or information which were calculated to be, might be, or were intended to be, directly or indirectly, useful to an enemy. The pair had denied the allegations and were set to face trial in October, but prosecutors dropped the charges against them at a hearing at the Old Bailey on Monday. Prosecutor Tom Little told the court the evidential stage of the case was no longer met. Mr. Berry worked in various teaching posts in China since September 2015. Mr. Cash worked as a parliamentary researcher and was closely linked to then senior Tories, including former Security Minister Tom Tugendhat and Alicia Cairns, who served as chairwoman of the Commission's Foreign Affairs Committee. In June, government ministers promised greater robustness and consistency in the way the UK deals with China, but acknowledged the desire for a trade and investment relationship with the world's second biggest economy.
An historic pub in Oxford is popular for its walled garden and tasty pies. The White Hart in St Andrew's Road, Headington, is run by landlord Dan Smay and his wife Carol, and is the Oxford Male Pub of the Week. The pub is well known locally for its choice of 10 different pies, including steak, dry cured bacon and ale, and wild mushroom, and asparagus with shallots and white wine. A selection of vegan and gluten-free pies are also available. The pub, an Everard's tenancy, has been listed in the Good Beer Guide many times and was selected as the Oxford Mail's Best Pub of the Year in 2022. Mr. Smythe said the hot weather over the summer attracted lots of visitors to the pub's walled garden. "We have a real mix of locals. There are lots of doctors and nurses from the John Radcliffe Hospital, students from Ruskin College and Oxford Brookes University. Trade has been good over the summer and people have been enjoying our garden, which not everyone is aware of. Now autumn is here, our quiz night on Tuesday is getting busier and our Sunday roasts are very popular." He said the pub always stocks a number of real ales. Currently there are 5, including Tiger and Everard's Best Bitter. The pub dates back to the 17th century and has a fascinating history. According to local legend, in its early years, Joan of Headington ran the premises as a brothel and apparently offered students other services along with their ale. The pub's website says, "These days we just serve the ale, although copies of the script from the 1712 The Tragi-Comedy of Joan of Headington play can be found hanging on our wall, which will explain everything. The Oxford branch of CAMRA, Campaign for Real Ale, has noted the pub's history. It said, "The White Hart has a good selection of Everard's ales and guests. It holds a beer festival every year in May. There are 3 drinking areas and a very large garden. Note the framed extract from a play, The Tragi-Comedy of Joan of Headington, by Dr. William King of Christchurch, written in 1712 about the proprietor of a dishonourable alehouse. Thankfully, now the pub has a much better reputation. The food is traditional and homemade, with pies a speciality." One recent visitor gave the pub a 5-star rating on the review site TripAdvisor, saying, "My visit was all okay and it was nice to see Dan and Carol. I rate this 5 out of 5. We all had Sunday roast. I could not fault it at all."
Oxford University Hospital is to be examined in a national investigation into failures in NHS maternity and neonatal services. Baroness Amos has been tasked to lead the investigation with bereaved families at the heart of the work. This is designed to drive improvements after systematic problems in 14 English trusts' maternity and neonatal care, dating back more than 15 years, the government said. Health Secretary Wes Streeting said bereaved families had shown extraordinary courage in coming forward, adding, "What they have experienced is devastating and their strength will help protect other families from enduring what they have been through. I know the NHS maternity and neonatal workers want the best for these mothers and babies, and that the vast majority of births are safe and without incident. But I cannot turn a blind eye to failures in the system. Every single preventable tragedy is one too many. Harmed and bereaved families will be right at the centre of this investigation to ensure no one has to suffer like this again. A range of services are to be put under the spotlight in the investigation, which comes after various independent reviews across multiple trusts found failings, including women's voices being ignored, safety concerns overlooked, and poor leadership, which has created toxic cultures. Oxford University Hospitals Trust offers a range of birth choices, including home birth, 5 midwifery-led units, and the delivery suite at the John Radcliffe Hospital. Simon Crowther, acting chief executive at the Trust, said, "We fully support this review and welcome the opportunity for independent scrutiny. We will work openly and constructively with the investigation team and will share all relevant data and information to assist their work. We recognise that some families have experienced care that did not meet the high standards we strive for. To those families, we offer our sincerest apologies. We are listening and we are determined to learn from every experience to ensure that no family feels unheard or unsupported. This review is an important step in a national effort to improve maternity care across the NHS. We are committed to playing our part in this journey with openness, transparency, and a relentless focus on the safety and well-being of every woman and baby in our care. We will continue to engage with our staff, patients, and community partners throughout this process."
An Oxford MP has come under fire from councillors after she called the congestion charge extremely unfair and a knee-jerk scheme. The temporary scheme was approved by Oxfordshire County Council at their cabinet meeting on Wednesday, September the 10th, and means motorists will face a £5 daily charge for driving through 6 roads in the city without a permit. Reacting to the news, Annalise Dodds, Labour MP for Oxford East, said it was extremely unfair that much of the money generated from the scheme would go towards subsidising park and ride fares. She added that Oxford is not London and that the County Council should focus on improving public transport. But Green Councillor Emily Kerr said Oxford may not be London, but it's fairly similar to Durham, where the then Labour Council introduced its own congestion charge. That's because congestion charges work. Bus operators called earlier this year for emergency measures to fix Oxford's congestion, and that's why they support the change. Labour's problem is they want the benefits of reduced congestion, but don't want to engage in any of the trade-offs. She added that she personally wanted the revenue raised to be put towards giving care leavers and children free term time bus travel and investment in improving cycle parking at the park and rides. Subsidising park and ride fares may well see a further reduction in congestion, which would benefit us all, she added. Lib Dem Councillor Tim Bearder, Cabinet Member for Adults, who used to be responsible for highways, said he was deeply disappointed that the MP had chosen to politicise the scheme despite supporting measures to deal with congestion in the past. He added, "The bus companies strongly support this scheme because it will help speed up journeys, improve reliability and encourage people out of cars and onto public transport. That's precisely how we build the sustainable transport system Oxford needs." Far from offering an alternative, Ms Dodds has set up a false clash between city residents and our rural communities. The reality is that any revenue raised will be reinvested in reducing car dependency and supporting public transport. The County Council signed a contract with the bus companies and the government to deliver 10% faster bus journey times by December 2025 and could be vulnerable to litigation if they do not deliver on this.
An Oxford Hospital Trust has raised concerns about how the now approved congestion charge could affect patients and staff, as more than 1,000 staff members travel to work by car. The County Council say all hospitals in the city will be accessible by car without having to pay the charge. Simon Crowther, acting CEO of Oxford University Hospital NHS Foundation Trust, which oversees the John Radcliffe Hospital and Churchill Hospital, among others, wrote to the County Council in response to the consultation on the scheme. The letter said, "Patients and their visitors travel to our sites from all over the country. Attending a hospital appointment can be stressful. Half our staff drive to work. The average staff commute is 14 miles and 41 minutes each way. Due to high house prices locally, many of our staff live beyond the ring road. The cost of living crisis has had a significant impact on our staff. Any additional financial burden, such as a £5 congestion charge, will be detrimental. It requests that the permit application process is made simple so our staff can focus on patient care, as well as for patients who may not be digitally literate. It also asks that the County Council should consider funding a number of initiatives, including free or reduced parking at park and ride sites, direct non-stopping express buses from park and rides to the hospitals, and clear signage at entry points to the city showing where the charging points are." The letter also mentions that 1,113 members of staff at the hospital used a car for work purposes in the last financial year, including IT and security staff, as well as those providing clinical care. Patients who regularly access the hospital for treatment, as well as emergency vehicles, carers, and unpaid carers, will be exempt from the scheme. As part of the approved scheme, park and ride fares will be free in November and December. A spokesperson for Oxfordshire County Council said, "NHS staff and patients will not need to pay the charge to get to work or to their appointments." In the meeting on the 10th of September, Cabinet members asked council officers to review how income generated by the temporary congestion charge should be used to have the greatest possible impact.
Oxfordshire politicians have called for Oxford United's new stadium to move to the next stage speedily so it can be built before its current lease runs out. The Ewes will move to the Triangle site near Kidlington Roundabout, where a new 16,000-seater stadium will be built. The plans were approved by Charwell District Council in August after numerous delays. The scale of the planning application means it must be referred to the Secretary of State for Housing, Communities and Local Government, who will decide whether to call it in. Annalise Dodds, MP for Oxford East, and Sean Woodcock, MP for Banbury, wrote to the new Secretary of State, Steve Reid MP, on the matter. In the letter, they said, "Oxford United is a critical source of pride for Oxford and Oxfordshire, as well as contributing massively to our local economy. If the plans are not approved speedily by the Secretary of State, all of this is at risk, given the impending danger of the end of the current lease, never mind its unsuitability. It's now been over 3 weeks since the application was approved by Chorwell District Council, and Oxford United cannot afford further delays." Mr Reid MP was appointed to become Secretary of State after Angela Rayner recently resigned.
Two upgrades have been made to imaging services at the John Radcliffe Hospital in Oxford. A new MRI scanner and gamma camera have been installed at the Oxford University Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust site, part of the wider programme for modernising radiology equipment across the John Radcliffe and Churchill Hospitals. Felicity Taylor-Drew, operating officer at the NHS Trust, said, "These new imaging facilities are a fantastic step forward for our patients and staff. They not only improve the quality and the speed of diagnosis, but also help us create a more comfortable and efficient experience for everyone who uses our services. Installed through a managed equipment service partnership with medical equipment from Egea UK, the upgrades are already improving patient comfort, speeding up diagnoses, and helping clinical teams to manage increasing demand. The new MRI scanner supports up to 600 patients each month and features advanced imaging technology that reduces scan times and improves image quality. This is especially important for patients undergoing neurological scans, where comfort and precision are key. Cyrene Saga, advanced clinical specialist MRI radiographer at the Trust site, said, "Having this new MRI scanner significantly enhances patient comfort and advanced imaging techniques, which helps to reduce anxiety. It also increases scanning capacity and supports faster, more accurate diagnoses, enabling us to better manage waiting lists and deliver targeted treatments. The Gamma camera is also based at the John Radcliffe Hospital. Debbie Tolley, Radiology Clinical Unit Operations Manager at the Trust, said, "This upgrade has transformed the John Radcliffe Hospital Nuclear Medicine Service. The Gamma camera includes CT capabilities that improve diagnostic accuracy, particularly valuable for oncology and pediatric patients, where timely and detailed imaging is essential. The installation also included a refurbishment of the nuclear medicine department to create a more modern and welcoming environment for both patients and staff."
A company which distributes surplus food across Oxfordshire picked up the top prize at the second Oxford Climate Awards. Oxford Food Hub won the overall prize at the award ceremony at Oxford Town Hall, celebrating the incredible work people, groups and companies do to help protect the planet. A total of 13 awards were handed out at the celebration on September the 17th, hosted by BBC South Today news presenter Geraldine Pearce. More than 100 volunteers at Oxford Food Hub worked to redistribute surplus food to over 230 charities and groups across Oxfordshire. In August, they passed a milestone. Within 9 months of 2024-25, they had already distributed 460 tonnes, surpassing last year's 398 tonnes. Before handing out the top prize, Councillor Anna Railton, Oxford City Council Deputy Leader and Cabinet Member for Zero Carbon Oxford, said, "You will struggle to find anybody in this city who has not interacted with these guys." Marcello Pollock, Oxford Food Hub Operations Manager, said, "It's great. It's just a wonderful recognition of the work. We are very engaged with the Oxfordshire community. You will struggle to meet anybody who hasn't heard of us. Working with over 235 charities, we cover most of Oxfordshire, helping all sorts of charities and community groups using food as a way of building community resilience. Food is a metaphorical glue that brings communities together. It's not just about food poverty, it's a wonderful tool to strengthen communities in what are very difficult times." Spencer Laws, Outreach and Administration Coordinator, added, "We've recently moved into non-food, so helping people with toothpaste, shower gel, cleaning products. Also helping charities to lower their own overheads." One of the highlights of the evening saw Joe Rakapashka celebrate his 12th birthday by picking up the Youth Climate Action Champion Award. After the ceremony, Ms. Pearce said, "I just thought it was a really positive experience, a fabulous evening. Every story was a good one. Everyone is making a difference. Also finding out more about groups like Oxford Food Hub. I had heard about it, but I had no idea about the sheer volume of meals they were generating. It's phenomenal. It's such an obvious idea to just not throw food away, but having the idea and making it work are very different things, and they are worthy winners to take the overall award. I wish everyone could see the awards. I wish it was televised so people at home could feel some of the positivity. A bathing pond has had its worst water quality reading in 3 years, an MP has claimed. Wolvercote Mill Stream was designated as a bathing pond in 2022, but a recording taken earlier in September revealed the worst levels of intestinal bacteria since 2022. The popular swimming area, which is located north of Port Meadow, is just 1 mile from Oxford city centre and is used by many people during the warmer months. Wolvercote Mill Stream is a bifurcation of the River Thames that splits from the main channel above King's Lock, rejoining below Godstow Lock. As a designated bathing water site, water is tested for two types of bacteria, E. coli and intestinal enterococci. These bacteria usually get into water from sewage and animal manure. Tests are carried out regularly, usually weekly, by government environmental agencies between the 15th of May and September the 30th. On September 3rd, data published by the Environment Agency reveal that some of the bacterial colony readings were at 3,600 per 100 millilitre. The week prior, it was 360 per 100 millilitre. E. coli readings were at 1,700 colonies per 100 millilitres, while the week prior it was 340 per 100 millilitres. It's understood a cause of the spike has not been confirmed. However, Thames Water Storm Discharge and Event Duration Monitoring map shows Cassington Sewage Treatment Works hasn't discharged since October 2024. Thames Water said it's targeting a record of £9.5 billion across its wastewater assets, which focuses on safeguarding the environment and improving river health. Farming, industry, road runoff, wildlife and increasingly extreme weather also play a role in river health. Just a week later, on September the 9th, the bathing pond's bacteria levels had dropped back down to around the usual levels recorded prior. But concern has been raised by Oxford West and Abington MP Leila Moran, who's asked the Environment Agency to explain the causes of the spike in the bacteria and find solutions to protect the bathing pond. The Liberal Democrat has campaigned for its status as a designated water bathing status, making the Wolvercote Mill Stream only the second inland river to be so. In 2022, 23 and 24, the bathing water at the mill stream was classified as poor. Thames Water's business plan for 25 to 2030 identifies a possible need to invest in UV disinfection at three treatment works, all located upstream of Wolvercote Mill Stream. The investigations will help the utility understand how to develop new schemes to achieve a sufficient classification of bathing water. Engineers are said to be already working on the scheme's designs, but this is subject to the outcome of a final determination from Ofwat.
A new display at Blenheim Palace is marking 85 years since MI5 moved its headquarters to the Oxfordshire site during World War II. In September 1940, MI5 relocated to Blenheim Palace after its former base at Wormwood Scrubs Prison was bombed during the Blitz. Women of Wartime - Secrets, running until September the 30th, shines a light on the crucial role of the women who worked at the site for around 8 years. Carmen Alvarez, Collections and Conservation Manager at Blenheim Palace, said, "The story behind MI5's move to Blenheim Palace is a fascinating one. And this new temporary trail will be a revelation to anyone with any interest in wartime history and women's vital role in the Allied victory. Visitors will learn about daily life at the palace, the women's work for MI5, and how they spent their free time. The trail includes a code-breaking activity and guides visitors through key locations such as the Flagstaff Gate, Great Court and Long Library. Visitors will learn about art historian and Russian spy Anthony Blunt, who was a regular wartime visitor to Blenheim Palace and would occasionally conduct tours and lectures on the palace's prized collection. The City of Oxford Society of Model Engineers is celebrating its 70th anniversary this year. Formed in December 1955, the Society began as the Whitney and West Oxfordshire Society of Model Engineers. It operated a railway in the grounds of Blenheim Palace from 1960 before relocating to Cutslow Park in Oxford in 1988, which is where it has remained ever since. Dennis Mulford, chairman of the Society, said, "I am proud to have been a member of the Society for around 50 years, and it has been something that's been close to my heart and involving my family for all that time. The Society has had members from many and varied occupations, all of whom have had the same interest in the fascinating hobby of model engineering, and all of whom speak this strange language of clacks, injectors, valve timing and boiler testing. Many of the old characters have passed away or simply moved on to other clubs and societies, but there is a steady membership of around 100. Something that is nice to see is a good selection of younger members joining in. To mark the anniversary, extra trains will run from 1 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. on Sunday, 21st of September.
Tributes have been paid to one of the most influential scientists at Oxford University after he died aged 100. Professor Sir Peter Hirsch, Emeritus Fellow of St Edmund Hall at the University of Oxford, died on Friday, September the 12th. The college paid tribute to the committed academic and scientist who had been welcomed back to St Edmund in March this year to celebrate his 100th birthday with a lunch and a scientific symposium. At the symposium, he spoke about his pioneering work in transmission electron microscopy, TEM, in the post-war years and its application to the study of materials, particularly metals and alloys. A spokesperson for St Edmund Hall said, "Peter will be deeply missed both by all who knew him at the Hall and more widely across the university." He joined the college in 1966 as the head of the Department of Metallurgy and Materials and the Isaac Wolfson Professor of Metallurgy and became one of Oxford's most influential scientists. When he retired in 1992, he was elected to the Hall's Emeritus Fellowship. The undergraduate Sir Peter Hirsch Bursary was set up in 2019 by one of Sir Peter's former students, Sir Dr. Bernard Bewley, as a tribute to his former tutor and the impact he had both on his students and academia more widely.
The Museum of Oxford will extend its opening hours later this month to celebrate its 50th anniversary with an exhibition co-created with members of the public. The free event on Friday, 26th of September, will celebrate the completion of the museum's exhibition, Our Oxford, 50 Years, 50 Stories, and will run from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. The exhibition, which was created to mark the museum's 50th anniversary, features 50 stories about Oxford's heritage and aims to unite diverse memories and experiences to form a vibrant community-woven archive that represents the city in 2025. There will also be live acoustic music from Mayura, badge making and screening of the short film 10 Voices by the Shadowlight Artists, a collective of learning disabled artists. The museum's regular galleries, gift shop and a paid bar will be open during the event. This is a free drop-in event, but residents are encouraged to book a ticket in advance. Details on how to book can be found on Eventbrite. Councillor Alex Hollingsworth, Cabinet Member for Planning and Culture at Oxford City Council, which owns and manages the museum, said, celebrating the community and what makes Oxford special, has always been at the heart of the Museum of Oxford. This special co-curated community exhibition shares the stories of the city and the people who call it home. Join us for a special late night opening where visitors and residents can enjoy the museum and celebrate the completion of this exciting exhibit. If you're interested in learning more about Oxford, please come along. The Museum of Oxford is the only museum dedicated solely to the city and is usually open Monday to Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It showcases Oxford's story through a variety of social history objects and interactive displays across two galleries.
Bookshop chain Waterstones is making good progress fitting out its new Oxford store following the closure of the shop where it traded for decades. The bookshop chain was at Grade 2 listed William Baker House on the corner of Corn Market and Broad Street from 1998 until its closure in June. Waterstones announced in March it was closing and moving to a new premises in Queen Street in a unit previously occupied by the Top Man clothing chain. The new bookshop is expected to open in September, according to Waterstones, which has not yet confirmed an exact opening date. However, new signs have now gone up in Queen Street announcing the new bookstore and cafe is coming soon. A spokeswoman for Waterstones said, "Our shop fitting team are now on site and work on the new bookshop is progressing well. Queen Street is shaping up to be a really exciting opening for us ahead of the busy Christmas shopping season. All our bookshelves and fixtures are bespoke to us and carefully fitted in each individual shop, so there's lots to do. We don't have a confirmed opening date yet."
Raymond Blanc has spoken after the closure of Le Manoir aux Quatre Saisons will spark mass job cuts at the two Michelin star restaurant in Oxfordshire. It was announced that the Belmont Hotel and restaurant will temporarily close for 18 months. This will commence in January of 2026, seeing the location undergo renovations leading towards summer 2027 reopening. Mr. Blanc started the illustrious restaurant nestled in the countryside by the village of Great Milton back in 1984. Known internationally as a breeding ground for culinary talent, the kitchen has been the starting point for several notable chefs, including Marco Pierre White and Paul Liebrandt. Yet the impending closure will see this all put on hold, as well as a rumoured 150 job loss, with redundancies rife in the wake of the announcement. Mr. Blanc has also made the decision to step back from the location after four decades to assume the role of lifetime ambassador. A statement issued by the chef said, "For more than four decades, Le Manoir has been more than just a hotel. It's been the canvas of my life's work. Every detail embodies my vision, creating a sanctuary where dreams become reality, thanks to the dedication of an extraordinary team. As I move into the role of founder and lifetime ambassador, my heart is full of gratitude and pride for all that we have achieved. To meet the needs of the future while staying true to our values, Le Manoir is embarking on a transformative redevelopment. This isn't simply a renovation. It's a reinvestment in excellence and sustainability for a future for the Manoir to thrive for another 40 years. Closing our doors, even temporarily, is indeed emotional, but it's a necessary pause so that we can offer something even more meaningful and beautiful upon our reopening."
A new 10-day food festival will take over Oxford city centre next month. Starting from Friday, October the 10th, Oxford Food and Drink Festival will take over Broad Street with an array of food and drink stalls. It's been described as a celebration of flavour, culture and community, with entry being free for all. Organised by LSD Promotions, the 10-day event will be open between 10 and 7pm daily, apart from on Sunday when it's open from 10am to 5pm. Traders are being invited to take part in the event too, which can be done on the company's website. The company said in a statement, taking place this October, this landmark event will welcome locals, visitors and thousands of students returning to the city after a summer of fun. Celebrating the very best of British food and drink, as well as the rich culinary influences brought to the UK from around the world, the festival promises to be a vibrant and inclusive celebration of our nation's diverse food scene. With live music, a bus bar, street entertainment and a wide range of engaging activations, the Oxford Food and Drink Festival will offer something for everyone. LSD Promotions is not a stranger to Oxford. It organises and runs the Gloucester Green Outdoor Market, and events such as Dine and Devour Food and Artisan Festival and the Oxford Victorian Christmas Market. Bosses are planning a world of flavours right in the heart of Oxford, although it's not yet known how many traders have signed up. In August, Broad Street was the scene of another bustling food festival, which saw visitors enjoy international cuisine, including churros, pad thai and dumplings, alongside craft ales, cocktails and sweet treats.
An Oxford Brewery's beers are now available in 228 Waitrose supermarkets across the UK. Two of Tap Social Movement's drinks are now stocked in Waitrose shops, as far north as Stirling in Scotland and as far south as Jersey. The two beers are Time Better Spent, a 5.1% juicy IPA that recently earned 2 stars at the 2025 Great Taste Awards, and Home and Dry, a 4.2% hazy pale ale. Brian Spencer, Marketing Manager at Tap Social, said, "We're so grateful for the opportunity to put Tap Social and two of our best-selling beers in front of Waitrose shoppers across the UK. We hope that it's helped spark more awareness and conversation about the UK's criminal justice system, and that more businesses see how our social mission of offering training and employment for people from prison can also work for them and benefit society at large." To mark the launch, Tap Social is offering a free pint of any flagship beer with every can purchased at Waitrose until the 23rd of September. Customers can redeem the offer by showing a printed Waitrose receipt at Tap Social's Botley Tap Room, at the market tap inside the covered market, or Lock 29 in Banbury.
An Oxfordshire church has hosted a Battle of Britain fish and chip supper. At St John the Evangelist Church in Carterton, a number of locals gathered to mark the 85th anniversary of the Battle of Britain. Occurring between July the 10th and October the 31st, 1940, the fight happened after the fall of France and the Dunkirk evacuations earlier that year. During the battle, the Royal Air Force defended Britain against the Nazi German Luftwaffe, which sought to gain air supremacy over the islands. The period included the London Blitz and ended with victory for the United Kingdom. The event directly referenced that time, with a prize for the best 1940s outfit, 1940s music, and a quiz. In addition, money was raised for the armed forces charity SSAFA. Julie Wilson, organiser of the event, said, "We had a wonderful evening with fish and chips, cake, quiz and a raffle. We were joined by the Military Wives Choir and, with the community, raised £132, which will be used to support the SSAFA charity. Thanks to Heavenly Tarts for the beautiful cake and the Town Hall for helping and supporting us."
An e-bikes company, which started operating a year ago in Oxford, is still experiencing some difficulties, according to a leading city councillor. App-controlled Lime e-bikes appeared on city streets in September 2024, and Lime initially set up its operation in the city without permission from the county council. In December, the company announced more than 30,000 trips had been completed on its e-bikes, and confirmed it had signed up to the council's code of conduct for dockless bike sharing. Lyme runs app-registered electric scooters, electric bikes and electric mopeds in various cities, but its arrival in Oxford was not universally popular, as some bikes were dumped at the roadside instead of being parked. Anna Railton, Cabinet Member for A Zero Carbon Oxford, said Lyme bikes were a good option for people, but added that the company's bikes were still presenting some problems. Geofencing on e-bikes uses GPS to create boundaries around a designated area, and this should trigger an alarm or a notification on the owner's smartphone if the bike enters or leaves that zone. Ms. Railton said the restriction did not always work with Lyme bikes. She added, "They are a good extra mode of transport, but there are still some issues with Lyme bikes which need addressing. I don't think it has been smooth sailing over the past year. There are now up to 100 Lyme bikes being used. Sometimes the bikes are being ridden where they shouldn't be, because the locks or geofencing seem to be easy to override. You can also park a Lyme bike anywhere, which is not fantastic. I think Lyme bikes should be parked in bays, which are not on the pavement." Ian Loader, chairman of the cycling campaign group Cyclox, said, "We strongly welcome bike share schemes as a vital part of the city's transport future. These schemes have the potential to transform getting around this city in cleaner, healthier and more sustainable ways. They also appear to be used by cyclists beyond the familiar people you see cycling. So Cyclox is calling for a large expansion of the scheme. But this must come with dedicated on-road parking infrastructure, and we have called upon the council to work with the operators to provide expanded bike parking, not on pavements. Once adequate parking provision is in place, we also call upon Lyme/Voy to more strictly enforce bad/antisocial parking of their vehicles."
Oxfordshire farmer Jeremy Clarkson has responded to talk about him receiving a knighthood. The TV presenter is well known for his work with James May and Richard Hammond on the BBC's Top Gear and Prime Video's The Grand Tour. Away from the motoring shows, which he presented for more than two decades, Mr. Clarkson is a newspaper columnist, regularly writing for both The Sun and The Sunday Times. Mr. Clarkson has also reached new audiences in recent years with the hugely popular Clarkson's Farm show on Prime Video. The documentary covers day-to-day life on Diddley Squat Farm in Chadlington, which he bought back in 2008 when it was named Curdle Hill Farm. In recent years, fans have been calling for Mr. Clarkson to receive a knighthood, thanks to his contributions to entertainment, as well as his growing importance as a voice for British farmers. The 65-year-old has engaged in an online conversation on whether he should become Sir Jeremy in recent days. One account asked, "Do you think Jeremy Clarkson deserves a knighthood? Yes or no?" Another account responded, "No, he doesn't."
Two people running a dog breeding business in the Banbury area have avoided jail for unlicensed dog breeding and animal cruelty offences. Over a four-year period between January 2019 and August 2024, Sonia Black and Jason Walsh had bred and sold at least 116 puppies illegally. In one case, a Doberman in their care went into labour and they did not seek veterinary support for over 12 hours. This resulted in one puppy being born deceased and unnecessary suffering to the mother. The case was brought to the court following an investigation by Charwell District Council's licensing team. Councillor Rob Parkinson, Cabinet Member for Safer Communities, said, Unlicensed dog breeders and sellers have no place in our community. Their presence is detrimental to animals under their care and residents who unknowingly purchase their pets from them. This case is horrendous and highlights the devastating consequences of people illegally breeding dogs. Black of Banbury and Walsh of Reading were sentenced to 22 weeks in prison, suspended for 12 months at a hearing at Oxford Magistrates Court on the 12th of September. They were given 100 hours of unpaid work and a £4,154 fine each after pleading guilty to two other offences. The judge also handed down a ban to Black and Walsh, preventing them from keeping dogs.
A campaign group say they are very disappointed after they were refused permission to appeal the High Court's decision allowing a controversial £14 million bridge to be built in Oxford. The Oxpens River Bridge, which would link Grand Pont Nature Park to Oxpens Meadow, is set to be built next year, with the bridge being craned into position next September. The plans were first granted permission by Oxford City Council in 2024, but Friends of Grand Pont Nature Park secured a judicial review into the decision, which took place in February. The group oppose building the bridge, arguing it will cause irreversible damage to the Grand Pont Nature Park, and that public funds should not be used to build it. However, the High Court dismissed the review on all five grounds. The group announced that they had launched an appeal into the outcome of the judicial review in May. The Court of Appeal refused permission to appeal the decision on Thursday, September 11th. Friends of Grand Pont Nature Park said they were very disappointed by the refusal and that the bridge is destructive and unnecessary. They added, "We remind the council, however, that merely having the legal right to go ahead with their planned destruction of a precious natural community asset does not also give them the obligation to go ahead. The prospect of actually building a new university innovation park on the floodplain at Oseney Mead, which is the sole intended purpose of the bridge, are becoming increasingly remote as flooding worsens and the local sewage system continues to buckle." They added that the costs of the bridge are growing at a rate of knots at a time when public money is desperately needed elsewhere, and urged residents to stay strong and resolute and keep up the fight. The council's cabinet recently approved an additional £3.7 million towards the bridge, which they said was needed due to the inflation of construction costs during the delay of the judicial review, taking the cost of the bridge to £14 million. A spokesperson for the City Council said the decision to dismiss the appeal into the judicial review enables the City Council to continue to work towards the delivery of the pedestrian and cycle bridge between Oxpens and Grand Pont Park, as initially proposed nearly 20 years ago. The City Council is pleased that its approach to the decisions that have been taken has been found to be legally sound, and that the risk of further costs increases caused by another legal challenge has been avoided. At the Cabinet meeting on August the 14th, officers confirmed that if an appeal to the judicial review went forward, the bridge would cost an additional £600,000 to £1 million and construction would be delayed until 2027.
An Oxfordshire woman has been thanked Wild West style on a major BBC One show. Nikki Clargo, a finance manager from Freeland near Whitney, was this week's one big thank you on the One show, appearing in a short film on Thursday the 11th September. Hosted by Alex Jones and Roman Kemp, the segment thanks somebody who has gone the extra mile in their community. Miss Clargo was honoured for her fundraising work, having raised over £100,000 for Oxfordshire Mind, a mental health charity, and Marie Curie, the UK's leading end-of-life charity. During the show, Lorna McGowan, senior community fundraiser at Marie Curie, thanked her for her efforts in the community. She added that it would help us provide end-of-life care and support for those who need it. In addition to her charity work, for the past 10 years or so, the 51-year-old has been running the Oxfordshire Stars, a walking group that now has more than 1,000 members. Several people in the group appeared on the One Show to make clear how important it is to them. "It made a heck of a lot of difference to my life," said Nigel Hardiman, "as I've got to meet so many people, and it's really improved the quality of my life." Sean Hazel called it a relaxed and safe community, while Mo Gray said it was responsible for a lot of friendships. Julie Beardmore added, "Not only does she raise all the money fundraising, she makes sure that everybody has a good time doing it." For her surprise, Miss Clargo turned up at a film set in Kent, where she expected to be playing an extra. Instead, she was to be part of her own film called The Magnificent Nikki. She was with partner Chris Rawlings, who called Miss Clargo an absolute ray of sunshine. The first sign that all was not as it seemed was when the country music enthusiast saw her face as a wanted poster plastered across the town's buildings. Upon reaching the saloon, she was sat at the bar, still unaware of the surprise, while Radio 2 DJ Bob Harris addressed her disguised friends and family. Known as Whispering Bob, he said, "Okay, guys, I've brought you to this town, and where do I find you? Carousing in the saloon." "Well, it's shameful, bearing in mind we are here to celebrate someone very, very special. Ladies and gentlemen, Nikki Clargo." Although initially shocked, having had the situation explained, she said to her friends and family, "You lot are in trouble." Visibly emotional, Miss Clargo and the group, including Whispering Bob, then sang along as one of her favourite bands, the Shires, gave her a private concert. The episode can currently be watched on BBC iPlayer.
A large snake has been videoed slithering near the Banbury town centre. The snake was seen on Tuesday, September 16th in Banbury, near to the historic lock, and is reported to be a lengthy grass snake. It's non-venomous and one of three snake species native to the UK, the others being the venomous adder snake and the non-venomous smooth snake. Grass snakes generally grow to around a metre in length, which puts this one on the larger size. Wendy Bedding, a local who saw it, said, "It was next to the lock where the boats go in to raise up. It was on the wheelchair or pushchair ramp. I stopped and recorded it as it was the first snake I'd seen in the wild in our country, and I'm 63. She added, "It did eventually fall in the lock and tried to swim out, but the lock was shut as it was low water level. I left, and when I passed by on the way home 1 hour later, two guys said they'd raised the water in the lock so it could get out again." Reportedly, there has been an increase in snake sightings over the past couple of years, especially in the summer when the weather is hotter.
TV presenter Jay Blades, who studied upholstery in Oxford, has denied two charges of rape and will not face trial for another 2 years. The 55-year-old, who fronted primetime BBC show The Repair Shop, appeared by video link at Shrewsbury Crown Court, where he was told his trial will not take place until September 2027. Blades' defence counsel, Susan Meek, told the court the defendant had been unable to work since the allegations were made. She added, "It's an extraordinarily long time for him not to be able to work." At the end of the hearing, which lasted just over 20 minutes, Judge Anthony Lowe expressed regret at the backlog causing the delay. Judge Lowe said he was unable to bump other cases out of the list to accommodate an earlier trial. He said, "I understand the application you make, Miss Meek, but the reality is, perhaps with the press attention on this case, it will at least bring it more to the public domain, the chronic position we are in relation to the backlog. The judge told Blades, "This matter will have to be decided by a jury. I'm sorry to say that it will not take place for effectively over 2 years, until September 20th, 2027. I regret that. Not as much as you do, but I do regret it. It is not a proper justice system where people are having to wait that length of time for their trial, but I'm afraid there is just nothing I can do. That, I'm afraid, is just the state of where we are with outstanding trials." The judge added that the timing of the trial may change depending on other cases, but Blades must assume it's highly likely that the trial will not take place until then, September 2027. Blades stepped back from presenting last year after having found fame on the restoration programme The Repair Shop, which he started presenting in 2017. Blades of Claverley in Shropshire was granted conditional bail until his trial in September 2027, with a case management hearing that he is not required to attend fixed for the 15th of May next year. He studied upholstery at the Ricotwood Furniture Centre at City of College, Oxford, and volunteered at a homeless hostel.
A state-of-the-art youth hub has officially opened at an Oxford leisure centre. The Blackbird Lees Youth Hub will provide critical support services and activities aimed at driving positive outcomes for young people in Oxford, including improved mental and physical well-being and skills for life and work. Founded at the Lees Pool and Leisure Centre, the Youth Hub aims to give young people new opportunities to enhance their well-being, have fun and grow their self-confidence through free welcoming sessions for those aged 11 to 18. The new space, which was designed in collaboration with Oxford's young people, includes a social area, quiet rooms, a kitchen, music and digital space and a climbing wall. Activities include creative writing, baking, art, music, nails and beauty, film nights, games, rock climbing, cooking and more. The Youth Hub will provide a safe space to socialise, take part in activities and enjoy a meal at no cost, and is led by a team of friendly youth workers. It also supports the centre's continued transformation from leisure to active well-being services. Oxford City Council's Youth Ambition team worked closely with young people on the design of the hub to ensure it meets the need of Blackbird Lees. The team organised taster sessions throughout the summer to gather additional feedback and input from young people on the new space ahead of the opening. The Youth Hub will be open for young people after school and during the summer holidays, with sessions organised by the council and other partners, including Body Mind Soul, WEM Power Dance in Oxford and Oxford Community Action. Chiwe Mkonge, Cabinet Minister for a Healthy, Fairer Oxford and Small Business Champion at Oxford City Council, said the Youth Hub will be a welcoming space to help young people in the Lees build their skills and confidence. The hub has been designed with young people, and we already have heard fantastic feedback from those who've taken part in our taster sessions. We're proud to be supporting local communities to succeed. Work on the new space started in September 2024, and it's a collaboration between the City Council and Oxfordshire County Council. Funding for the refurbishment came from the UK Government's Youth Investment Fund and the National Lottery. This is an exciting and much anticipated moment for young people in the Lees, a local hub where they can make friends, socialise, build their skills and confidence, said Sean Gall, County Council Cabinet Member for Children and Young People. Supported by a brilliant team of youth workers, this partnership between councils will play an important role in helping the young participants develop and reach for future aspirations and goals.
That was the last of our news items for this week. If you have any feedback or... That was the last of our articles for this week. If you have any comments or feedback about Oxtalk... That was the last of our articles for this week. If you have any feedback or comments about Oxtalk, please telephone Margaret on 07496 062 280. That's 07496 062-062-280. Please remember to leave your name and contact number with your message. Alternatively, you can send an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and those from previous weeks are available on our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can either listen directly or download the audio file. You can also listen on an Alexa device through the Talking Newspaper skill. If you need advice on this, please phone the main Oxtalk number. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week with more news. So until then, we hope you have a great week.